The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
Well, the week has just been flowing, passing us by like life does as you all get older. Of course, I'm in denial. Nice to have your company, Mike Ryan here. A couple of things that have come to mind. We still see that Europe being the chief censor of the entire world, because that's why Europe is in such a great state, isn't it? We got reported up to 3 million Ukrainians. They'll create another caravan or another train, and they'll just infiltrate other countries. We have it's a terrible place, Europe. No energy, little food, terrible governments. And now European Commissioner for the Internal Market, his name is Thierry Breton, has demanded that Elon Musk increase the number of Twitter censors in the European Union. You will do as you're told. What are you doing when the lights are going neat? But since Musk took over the social media company, he has fired about half the workforce. Breton, whatever his name is, who cares? He's not worth thinking about. Issued a warning saying that Europe will not have a trembling hand. No, not I. And that Musk knows the European position perfectly. I think they call it the missionary position. And that's what they're doing to all of their citizens, but are they enjoying it? Now, he is in the process of reducing a certain number of moderators, but he will have to increase them in Europe, Breton said in an interview with France Info. He will have to open his algorithms. I thought that was illegal. Oh, sorry. We will have control. Hang on, let's do that properly. We will have control. We will have access. People will no longer be able to just say anything, he added. Hate speech is over. What he means is free speech is over. So that's some of the problems that Elon will walk into Europe. What else is there? Masking and social distancing should be encouraged or even mandated once more in public in order to protect people from COVID-19 and other imaginary diseases and from the possibility of suffering from long, long COVID, according to a new report from the States for the DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services. The report commissioned by HHS and produced by research agency Coforma. Sounds like a Disney organisation. Calls for a broad range of government policies to help people who continue to deal with the lingering effects of COVID. These policies include an awareness campaign, don't get the jab, funding for long COVID support groups, don't get the jab, financial support for students and workers, don't get the jab, and new health benefits for COVID victims. So that's what's happening there. And also, I'm just going to find here, we have the news that the FBI closely monitoring the gathering. Now, this is actually very scary. And I would be making fun of things like this, but this is very serious. The FBI is closely monitoring, and I think rightly so, the gathering of Christian nationalists.
The FBI has dispatched surveillance teams after several reports surfaced of Christian nationalists planning to spend a day thanking God for his blessings and praying for America. Agent Schwartz of the tactical team.
Looks like the Turkish hit the table, boys. That means the praying will be inbound shortly if I know these sickos like I think I do.
The FBI has reported a massive increase in Christian nationalist activity as of late, with many in the Bureau expecting a widespread show of force on Thanksgiving. FBI Director Christopher Wray.
The entire Thanksgiving holiday is basically a dog whistle for Christian nationalists. Here we have a holiday declared by Abraham Lincoln, one of the most famous Christian nationalists ever, meant to be entirely dedicated to thanking God for our country and praying God's guidance for our future. If that's not domestic terrorism, I don't know what it is.
After a bit of shuffling, Agent Schwartz reported that the Graham family had in fact said a prayer and started eating turkey.
We got three generations of terrorists present, maybe four. That old terrorist on the walker is moving slow. Sure is sad to see the little ones getting indoctrinated like this. Next thing you know, that baby will be storming the Capitol. Mark my words.
At publishing time, Grandma Graham has reportedly gone outside to ask the weirdo with binoculars if he would like to come in for some pie.
There's half a pound. Where'd you like the other half?
Back to you, Mike.
Thanks very much. I mean, I love the States. I love America. I think it's a great place. Love the people. At the moment, a few bastards are destroying it. We say bastards. That's right. A very dear friend of ours who's passed away used to say, "Die, you bastards." And truly, I can't think of another term, another little quip for the Bidens, the Faucis, and all those. I mean, look at your military. Look at America's military. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic. You got Millie. Oh, I mean, sounds like a singer. It's terrible. Maybe he should. Anyway, at least he's going to warn the Chinese before he attacks. Now, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT radio app from either the Apple App Store, we're still there, or Google Play, when we're still there too. So you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download, keeping you up to speed. This is can we say speed? I think that's illegal. Anyway, this is TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Deputy Director of Operations at the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. They even have a, Luke's wondering what I'm talking about, but they actually have a TV and a media organization called CNNIA. Now, David Marlowe has publicly revealed a plan to recruit disgruntled Russians who are disgusted with the conflict in Ukraine. Jeremy Beck knows all about everything. Jeremy, tell us more.
Yes, Mike. Well, that word disgusted was the word that David Marlowe used. Mm-hmm. Now, the US spy agency wants to recruit disaffected Russian officials and business executives. And David Marlowe, he revealed this plan at George Mason University's Michael V. Hayden Center in Arlington, Virginia, at a CIA at 75 event, which was held last week. But the Hayden Center made the video of the event public on Monday. Now, Marlowe referred to the current events in Ukraine, and he said, "We are looking around the world for Russians who are disgusted with that as we are, because we are open for business." Now, he spoke before a select audience of university faculty and staff, and CIA Deputy Director for Analysis, Linda Wiesgold, described as responsible for producing finished intelligence reports for President Joe Biden and the rest of the US leadership, was also on the panel, along with the agency's one-time acting director, Michael Morrell, and General Michael Hayden, a former director of the CIA and National Security Agency, the NSA, was also president. So you had quite a few bigwigs there, Mike, and here they are announcing plans to recruit disgruntled Russians to run intelligence warfare, basically. I think this is an ongoing thing that has happened over the decades. We're looking at double agents, and double agents have been there forever and a day.
Yeah, I'm just actually, as you're talking about that, I'm playing a terrible tune from Genghis Khan. It's called Moscow. This is the Russian version. So that's the Russian version, but I was just thinking I see this as just pure BS. I see it as people will read about this and think, oh, you know, disgruntled Russians, they're going to come in and do all the good things for the West. How much of this is just pure fancy, Jeremy.
I think so, Mike, because I don't think they will find too many Russians who are disgruntled, particularly Russians who would prefer to work with the CIA or any of the American agencies. I can't see them finding many at all, because the CIA, the whole US military has been an absolute disgrace. NATO has been an absolute disgrace in Ukraine. And, you know, how much can they spin the propaganda for Russians to believe this rubbish that they're pouring out? You know, sure, you're going to get some disgruntled Russians who won't be particularly happy with the tactics and how they're playing the war, but I don't think they'll be so disgruntled that they would prefer the CIA. I don't think they'll find many at all.
No, I actually, a friend of mine and I, we think we know a double agent, and a very nice fellow too, very, very nice fellow for the Russians and the Americans. No one's knocking on my door at the moment, so obviously I haven't got their attention. And we could be quite wrong too. So could be a scuttlebutt as I backpedal here, Jeremy. But I'm just thinking, do you think maybe, because I go back to the last bunch of reports, not the last couple of weeks, but before that Russia was finished, that the West was winning, Ukraine was doing this, it was going to be all over before you could say Red Rover. And it hasn't finished. I mean, the Russians seem to be just as strong. And I see the West is trying everything. I mean, even this is a script from the Americans, just about. And I look at it says here, double agents such as KGB Colonel Oleg, what's his name? Oleg Gordievsky. His name?
Gordievsky. I'm not too sure if that's pronounced correctly, but that's how I say it.
Here's a question, though. Yeah, I bet you 10 cents to nothing he was a double agent. I mean, and seriously, do they really need agents? Do they need agents at all? Because they can do what they like nowadays. It's just by simply hacking systems. And no system is immune to a good hack from a foreign power, is it?
Yeah, well, these days, you know, you have the computer hacking. I think in the case of Oleg Gordievsky, worked for the KGB. He was a colonel, and then he went on to work for MI6 and got some award from the Queen Elizabeth at the time, and he was disaffected. Now, I think the situation's quite different. You know, he was in that time of the Cold War, and communism wasn't exactly that great. So I can understand why, you know, people would want to jump ship and work with the West. Now it's becoming more and more clear that the West is not all the land of free. That's just a complete myth. And times have changed. Certainly any Russian, self-respecting Russian, would know their history and would not want to jump into the kinds of the military-industrial complex of the West, the regime change operations, all these things that the West has done. Now, the point you make about hacking, well, yeah, sure, a lot of the intelligence can be done remotely now just by tapping a few computer keys.
Yeah, I'm just looking at I'm just thinking about, okay, this is how clever the CIA really, really is, and anybody says otherwise. I mean, sure, they're good at creating chaos and stuff, but it's just like a bull running through a China teacup shop. But I'm just thinking, could you imagine, Max Smart? We've got this new plan that we're going to recruit disgruntled Russians who are disgusted with the conflict in Ukraine, okay? That's what we're going to do, but shh, don't tell anybody. They know. So do you think if there's an intelligence org that isn't an oxymoron, that the org or the intelligence group would all of a sudden have that they would have good surveillance anyway? They would know the disgruntlers, the ones who aren't happy. All the CIA has done is just tell the Russians, a bit like Milley when he says to the Chinese that there will be no surprise attack. We'll let you know prior. And I find that truly astounding. So what we've done here is tell the Russians that the Americans, or the CIA, is about to conduct another operation and recruit a bunch of Russians to act as informants and spies for us. I thought all this was supposed to be secret. What's Snowden doing in Russia? Why can't he come back to America? I mean, because what he did, I mean, they're doing exactly the same.
Oh, that's right. You know, anyone who hasn't seen the Snowden movies has got to see it. It just shows you how much we are tracked and monitored, and the cameras can be turned on in our computers to watch what we're doing in our own bedrooms, by the intelligence agencies monitoring everything we do. This is happening all the time. In fact, last month, Moscow summoned the Dutch ambassador over reports that a British spy had tried to recruit a Russian military attaché in The Hague. So earlier this year, the Kremlin denounced US attempts to lure Russian diplomats as very impudent behaviour and unacceptable. So the Russians are onto it. The CIA making this announcement now, I think, is just more intimidation. The Russians already know they're up to it anyway.
I'm trying to find some music for the CIA, and I think they've got a new theme song. It's from F Troop. I mean, sure, the CIA is a terrible organization. It does things that we can't talk about because we don't know, and that's the whole idea of it. But here they are. If they're such a secret organization, why are they talking about a secret covert operation? I mean, why are they doing that? It's no longer a secret. And I think that's why I went back to what I said before. This is probably just all a bit of beating of the chest, conning the general public, getting the media to write something positive about how they're going to still win the war against the Russians, which ain't going to happen. Jeremy Beck, always a pleasure. Talk to you in the next hour. This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Hesher is talking about.
The EU's biggest economy could soon become CO2 neutral, but poor. According to Henning Hahn, Germany's economic prosperity is in jeopardy due to a complete failure of the government's energy policy. He told the newspaper Die Welt on Monday that the country's living standards could drop to the level of 1970 in the face of a completely imploding energy transition. We have to ask ourselves, in 10 years, will there still be someone who will produce here and sell their product internationally? We must answer that. One must ask themselves, is a CO2 neutral country even viable? And if not, why are we doing it?
Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
You have the power of information, lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Vladimir Zelensky, the world's worst comedian and the world's worst politician, but slippery as eel shit, as they would say. Now, Zelensky can do no wrong. The Biden administration has asked for $4.5 billion in funding for Ukraine, right after reports that Ukraine had funneled money into the collapsed FTX. But you mustn't forget here that that money went straight back to the Democrats. So, I mean, that's why they're getting more. I wonder if they found another scheme. Anyway, Zelensky has changed a law to reduce financial oversight of its politicians. Now, this should concern the US administration and its co-founders of the proxy war. George Eliason is an American journo and TNT host who lives and works in Donbass. He's been interviewed by and provided analysis for RT, the BBC, Press TV, Alex Jones, which I'll place something from Alex Jones in a second for George. And his articles, by the way, have been widely published. George, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on today, Mike.
George, do we know much more about the activities of FTX in Ukraine?
Well, it actually started in the spring. Ukraine was doing a drive for donations, public donations, and they went through FTX and another company. They were actually partnered with them at the time. Now, what was interesting is that one of the main Ukrainian players at the time was a hacking group called Ukraine Cyber Alliance. They did the Oppo research for Team Clinton in 2016. These are the people that are actually responsible for what's known as the DNC hack, which was actually an administrative action to find a leaker. Now, these people here are the only ones on record, them and their counterpart, Ukraine's cyber junta, to actually have in possession the tools that Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear used. There's no one else. So when we're looking at a hack and theft from FTX, these are the most likely culprits of that. In terms of funneling money back to the Democratic Party, it's in their interest to do this. And they work for the head of digital communications in Ukraine. They were part of what was known as the Ukraine's Information Ministry of Information Policy, which sits inside the Digital Communication Ministry. And they do information operations. That's what they do, and they hack. Now, why would they do this? Well, they saw an opportunity to get more money. Coming into the midterm elections, they knew that the Democrats needed a boost. If the Republicans get in, they know a lot of this is going to be investigated. And it was in Ukraine's best interest to make sure that didn't happen. So all these things wrap right around this election and going into 2024.
Yeah, I'm just thinking Republicans are going to really mess up the bed. They're going to make it into a real mess trying to find all the information. And knowing how slippery and slimy they can be, and also with the Ukrainians and Zelensky, do you think they'll find anything? I mean, they'll find some things, but do you think they'll find the things that the powers to be would like, or not would like to be, but have no choice, but they're going to, you know, throw out those distractions that would give them some ammunition, but not a whole lot? Or do you think they're going to find the whole damn kit and caboodle?
Well, it depends on who's leading the investigation. My hope is that it doesn't turn out like the investigation into Fethullah Gulen. Congress tried to mount an investigation against him about a decade ago in terms of corruption of Congress. But they actually had to close the investigation because they couldn't find enough people to go on the investigative panel that weren't corrupted by Fethullah Gulen. Mm. It's going to depend on what Republicans get on that committee. If you have people that have been supporting Ukraine and taking money from Ukraine, rhinos, it's not going to go overly far. And it'll be wink, wink, yeah, okay, you know, slap on the hand kind of thing. If they mount a serious investigation, it's just going to make ripples, you know, like throwing a pebble in a lake, that just are going to go out and show more corruption and more corruption and more corruption. And this is something that, you know, under the best conditions, Does it become a security issue for the United States to publicize that? And that's the other side of the issue. And it's not just the U.S., it's the U.K. Canada is waist deep in this. Australia, Germany is up to their necks in this, unfortunately. So we have a situation where it's this one event could actually trigger protests, change of governments, possibly, you know, no confidence votes. I mean, just really change Western government as we see it right now.
Don't know about the US though. I just think the when Donald said we're going to drain the swamp, all I see is the swamp resembles the Black Sea, and I just don't know. I think you're right about the rhinos. I mean, who was it? I think was it Lindsey Graham or Mitch McConnell that got $2 million from SBF? I mean, the thing goes very deep, and even I think Kevin McCarthy, I think he's also, there's a problem there too. So I don't know. I just think, and you can't rely on the law enforcement agencies. I mean, look at the FBI. I think they've left law enforcement and have moved over to, smoke and mirrors, the smoke and mirrors department, or probably the propaganda department or the publicity department for the government of the day. Hang in there, George. We'll just go to a quick news break and we'll come back with more. This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. A British enforcement agency has expressed concern over weapons being sent to Ukraine ending up in the hands of terrorists. Russia has condemned Washington's reaction to the execution of Russian prisoners of war and has accused the US of enabling Ukrainian neo-Nazis to act with impunity. And the US says it supports Turkey's military operation in Syria, even though it could hamper the efforts of US-backed Kurdish militants to fight against Islamic State.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And my guest is George Eliasson, living it up in the lap of luxury in Donbass. but you could be one day. You never know. Once the world gets back to being, actually, it's never going to go back to being the way it was. So I think perhaps you could, you know, visit us in Australia or pop over to the US, head back to Boston or somewhere. But you never know. Look, I'm just wondering the deafening sound of silence from mainstream media on FTX, and how the money, the taxpayers' dollars were sent over to Ukraine for one purpose only, you know, that was to do, you know, to rebuild and stuff. Of course, there were other caveats in there for military, but mainly it was just to build, you know, rebuild Ukraine, do some good for Ukraine. How could the media and how could governments, after knowing what's happened to the squillions that have been funneled to Ukraine, how come, I mean, even with the most biased, you'd have to have media-government at least getting a little bit irate that their money has been used for other purposes. I say to people that there's a reason, one of the reasons, not the entire thing, but part of the reason is because it was tied up so much with the last midterms and the elections, trying to get the Democrats over the line, that those that supported the Democrats and the Democrats also, along with a couple of rhinos, they don't want you talking about this. They want you to just go away, because if there was a media and if there was good government, this thing would be splashed all over the news. SBF would be in jail now. He wouldn't be still earning his, and I feel sorry for him, his $2,000 an hour. He wouldn't be doing that. But that's just, again, that's just media writing rubbish down, because obviously he's got a lot of money stacked away, and obviously he has a lot on a lot of politicians and people. So where do we go from here, George, if the media and the government are not going to do much, at least publicly, about this? And you know, it's just been swept under the carpet. So if you don't talk about it, no one talks about it. So where do we go from here? How do we get that out to say to the rest of the world, or to the Americans, or to the West, you've given your money to the Ukrainian mafia?
Well, you know, what needs to happen is what's going on now. All these things eventually come out. It's what I've found now, and this is my experience. 5 years after you write a story, it becomes talking points on the news. That's what's happening with these big things. Now, the Democratic Party is controlling the ASGM right now. The ASGM sends out its... The ASGM is in charge of RFERL, U.S. propaganda and such. But the board members are made up of the network heads in the United States, and they get their talking points there. That's why the networks all sound the same on issues. The agency is underneath the State Department. So it's actually the Secretary of State is the head of it's the head of the board ex officio. Okay. Every day the ASGM is sending out 2,500 or 3,000 memos to news stations across the US and the world, giving them their talking points. So first, if you actually wanted to stop it, easiest thing to do is to revise SMITMUND, because it makes it illegal if you go back to pre-2012. That ends it altogether. Mm-hmm. Everyone starts doing the news again. Right now, what TNT is doing, what you're doing, is the best thing possible, because it's bringing news, what's actually going on, and perspective into a mainstream audience, okay, which is what TNT listeners are. They're important people. And the more people talk about it, the sooner this is going to come up in what we call mainstream media, or legacy media, if you will. Mm. And it shows the importance of platforms like this that are doing that.
Mm. Zelensky changed the law to reduce financial oversight of its politicians. And I know Europe aren't, you know, they've come out and said we're not all that happy with that. Do you think anything else will come of that, or they're just going to say, oh, we're not happy with that, and then move on?
I don't know how you could have negative oversight. It's just, you know, we're investigating a negative. They don't have oversight. The Ukrainian government itself, the elected officials in the Rada is what we're talking about, and the other officials are above the law as long as they sit in power. They cannot be investigated for anything. So in terms of oversight, they really don't have any. They can do what they want. You've had cases where Rada members have been caught on video running people down in the streets of Kiev. And they get out of their car on video, take their plates off, sit there, wait for the cops, see the cops, get in their car without their plate, and leave. Hmm. No charges pressed, no anything, no responsibility. Now, how can you have less oversight than that? You have the, you know, permission to commit manslaughter or murder. So this is, I don't need to understand the real point of it, other than, you know, maybe it's so they can funnel money out of Ukraine would be the only thing. Because they're outside of Ukraine, a record starts, you know, of transfers.
Well, Zelensky said that, what did you say here, that there is no such anti-corruption or anti-corruption infrastructure in many countries of the European Union as Ukraine has. Now, whether that's just BS. But if he's even part correct, again, you start to, I suppose, even though we're just glossing over the top of it, you start to get an idea on how corrupt the whole bunch of them are. I mean, look at Ursula. I mean, she could end up in jail if they have their way, because there's an investigation into her. And, you know, and I mean, so the do you think, again, do you think it's because power breeds corruption, or excessive power breeds corruption? Do you think that's part of the problem here? And the accountability. I mean, once upon a time, dot the I's, cross the T's, all that sort of stuff, it just seems to the observer looking out in that there is little accountability, or the accountability meter, you know, the gauge, has dropped a few notches. And it's probably a problem that is part of the problem we have at the moment with NATO and Russia, because you got a bunch of not corrupt. I mean, actually, you got a bunch of corrupt countries, and they're all going to use mm-hmm. everything to their own advantage. So, what we have is the average Joe citizen believes that the West is the ones that got the. They got God on their side. They're doing the right stuff, and Russia's the bad eggs. Well, no one's exactly a perfect egg here, but it would seem like it's almost like the NATO mafia are not so forthright in the truth, mm-hmm. and we know that too. I'm just thinking that, you know, they're saying Russia's crooks. And bad people, blah 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 blah. You have the thing with NATO and Europe, who are worse. So anyway, I just a thought, a casual observance there, George.
Well, you made a couple of points. If we start with Ukraine, and it's actually key, start with Ukraine. Is it power breeds corruption, or corruption breeds power? Well, you've got a political ideology platform that is built in fascism, all right? This is a Eurocentric fascism. It came out of Austria. It was developed in Vienna, as a matter of fact. So you have a fascism which is more or less totalitarian on the top, where the government is, and socialist on the bottom, which is what everybody sees. It is a socialist philosophy, according to the author of fascism, Giovanni Gentile, okay, the ultimate form of socialism. They are better people. They have a right to do this. They have a right to take what they want. They're backed with the political underpinnings that tell them this. And if they're better people who get to decide how things are going to be in reality, everyone else under them really doesn't matter. And this cycles down every level of government or official or business or whatever. It becomes a very, very much a pecking order. And you have rights over everything under you. You own that. So you're looking at it like you're looking at other people's property and other people as possession, not, and if you're in government, it's not people you govern, it's people you rule over. They're yours, all right, like a tyranny. The West's interest in this is because of, now they've been behind the experiments of implementing Ukrainian nationalism in Ukraine because they want to transfer that into their own countries. It makes things so much easier when your constituency doesn't have any expectations of you. You rule by fiat. Whatever you say is what it is, which is a lot of what's going on right now. Mm. And you go into NATO, you go into the OSCE, you go into any of these groups, and they're all for this because they don't have responsibility. there's no responsibility or accountability. You were talking earlier about, you know, the intel agencies and, you know, OSINT hacking versus human intelligence. The fact that they use private contractors for all of this, they don't vet the information as long as it fits their narrative, which is what these people doing these intel efforts are paid to actually gather or fabricate. They can make up any world scenario that you want. Imagine being a leader in that world. Mm. That's what they want.
Organization called, I think it's ANTAC, which is a US-funded anti-corruption body, says new laws implemented by Zelensky practically kills efforts to combat money laundering. That would apply to probably half of NATO. What can be done? What actually can be done?
Well, Europe and the US are going to have to decide that this is wrong.
But they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
It's very, very difficult for you to regulate another country's laws, okay, or the recipients of bribery or whatever, if it's legal in the country to do that, or the transfer of wealth offshore. Mm. The only means that the West has to straighten Ukraine out is funding. Mm. Straighten out the laws and we'll fund more. Until you do, we won't. Mm. But why would the current government do that if they're the recipients of this? They look at Ukraine as, you know, in the US, you know, they joke about it, the 51st state. It is. It's a constituency. And it's the most important constituency the US Congress has had for the last 8 years. 9 years. Mm. So you need to move those people out, get new people in that don't have these ties. Another thing is to get rid of the congressional caucuses in the United States Congress. So you don't have ethnic caucuses anymore. That cuts out these lobbies, which are a big source of the corruption going into Congress and coming out of Congress. Mm. You know, it's steps like that.
Yeah,
Ukraine will never do this on their own.
Yeah, I think I think we need. I mean, if Donald Trump does get in, or DeSantis, whoever, they're really going to have gonads the size of very big balls.
Yeah, it'll take Trump.
Yep.
It will take Trump to do this.
And this time he needs not to listen to the. Yeah, to a lot of his advisors there, those that have been there throughout various administrations. He just needs to do it. Come in there and do it. Anyway.
Well, here's what he's got working against him. For the last, since 2016, the academics that are backing this up have been holding conferences all over the Western world. Okay, they're teaching governments. Okay, how they should look at Trump, how they should look at Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Who's responsible for Ukraine? Timothy Snyder actually told Germany point blank, you are responsible for the welfare of Ukraine because of what you did in World War II. You mm-hmm. allowed them to murder all these people. Hello. Yeah, no, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the Green Party just sucked that right up because they're basically fascist anyway. I mean, that's the base of their ideology. It does take a Trump. Mm. Someone like DeSantis, under normal conditions, he'd be a great president. But we're not talking about normal conditions right now. And you need someone with a skin as thick as a rhino.
Well, maybe not a rhino. What about a hippo? Because the rhinos, we don't like rhinos. Hey, George, can you just wait?
Exactly.
Just wait one second. We'll go to a quick break, come back to you on a... have a chat to you about some war crimes. And also, I found something from Alex Jones you might be interested in. Was he a soothsayer? This is TNT Radio.
Global leaders want vaccine passports for travel. Oh, yes, it's back.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
A declaration signed at the G20 summit by world leaders urged digital COVID-19 certificates to, quote, facilitate seamless international travel. Here is an explanation direct from the G20 summit.
So let's have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO. If you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around.
Yes, that's right. You can buy your freedom by giving in to totalitarian demands for a mandated vaccine. They went on to say you can provide some movement of the people during lockdowns. They are already planning new ways to curtail your freedom. Are you going to accept this? Hell no. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio. Thanks for listening.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Need an electrician.
Do you need police, fire or ambulance?
No, I just need an electrician. I've got a couple old crappy PowerPoints I need to get changed
Look,
over.
Look, I'm sorry. I can only connect you to the police, fire or ambulance.
I need to talk to an electrician.
This is for emergencies only.
This is an emergency. I'm moving into the house and I need to get an electrician to change these PowerPoints.
000's sole job is to connect you to your nearest emergency service. So please, stay relevant and save 000 for urgent assistance only.
How's the dollar against the peso or the euro? For a favorable rate of exchange and the currency of free speech, listen to today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
My guest is George Eliason, who has shifts all over the place and on various shows here on TNT Radio. George, can you tell us more about the alleged war crimes perpetrated against Russian prisoner of wars in Makiivka in Lugansk?
The soldiers were LNR soldiers, Lugansk People's Republic. They had surrendered. They were laying down. Another one came out of the building and fired, but these men were all shot in the back of the head at close range. Now, some new aspect of that came out is that there was an American there named Chris Naganuma, who from Colorado, a mercenary. So we have an American involved in this. Now, after this event, another video of another event showed up, them doing the same thing. They've been doing this for 9 years. And it's saddening. It's no longer shocking anymore. Do you remember the videos from the springtime shooting Russian prisoners in the leg and then in the head, torturing them? You have a video of another American talking about when Azov crucified and burned a DNR soldier. He was there. Yeah, and he's upset because he didn't have a mask on. Another American. They're all over the place. These are people. Now, you know, people joke about the woke culture, about wokeness, about Antifa, about this, about that. That's who's coming over and getting military experience. And you have to ask yourself why. And you have to actually ponder the fact is what's coming home. And it's not just America. We're looking at all across the world, Australia, UK, this is happening. Why the big rush to get military experience now? This is an open and shut war crime. One of the perpetrators has already been found and he has been terminated, I guess, is what I'm hearing. He was one of the border guards that were identified. He got in a firefight and they found his identification after the firefight. So I expect this to continue for the entire length of the war. At the second video, the Ukrainians were saying, we're not taking any more prisoners, which means they're killing everybody.
You've been on Alex Jones, and Alex Jones... he's been around for a lot longer than I thought. I played this. This is about 20 years ago, and if you can just tell me where he is wrong with this, I can't find much at all.
Facts and common sense are in. Yes, there have been corrupt empires. Yes, they manipulate. Yes, there are secret societies. Yes, there have been oligarchies throughout history. And yes, today in 2002, there is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny, where human beings are absolutely worthless. There's 6.25+ billion of us, and the globalists have said it many times. There's too many of us. We're causing a problem. We need to be culled at the tune of 80%. It's amazing to talk about that, but it's the globalists, the UN, their own public statements, and they've convinced a lot of liberals and elitist conservatives and others that by going along with this, that we're intelligent members of society. It's the ultimate Malthus worldview. It is this radical, virulent form of social Darwinism. It's the excuse of tyrants. And by creating open borders where there's no national sovereignty and only global bodies that control all the resources, by centralizing and socializing health care, the state becomes God, basically, when it comes to your health. And then by releasing diseases and viruses and plagues upon us, we then basically get shoved into their system.
Okay, George, can you tell me where he's not right?
Oh, he's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Even the protracted, at this point, investigation I've done now, I'm putting it together on Nord Stream. It's exactly what it was about. It's exactly that. It's setting up this, what he called a new world order. What is going on today, we're calling the Great Reset, globalization. Mm. It's all the same thing. Nord Stream was one of the major pegs. The incident itself was one of the major pegs to make that happen. And the people behind it have stated that there's only two leaders in the world that are capable of stopping them, which is why they're bent on destroying them. One is Donald Trump in the West. Mm-hmm. The other is Vladimir Putin in the East. And it's just, you know, you look at media today. Who are the two most vilified leaders on the planet? Who are they? Mm. And then ask yourself, what exactly are you doing? Now, in 2014, another topic that Alex Jones was talking about, you know, he's talking about bank runs, bank holidays and all that. I'll tell you what, I had to live through one at the beginning of the war. And the only thing I had to lean on is, what was it Alex Jones said in 2005? And, you know, his whole monologue is playing out in front of my face in real time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yikes, Here we go. So yeah, he's very, very prescient. He definitely has been.
Just the digital ID, which yeah, I think sometime next year, which is not that far away, in Australia, for example, they have the bill, the trusted digital ID, and they put the word trusted in front of that, which they probably shouldn't do because it's not trusted. And the rest of the world will follow suit. Look at Canada, especially the countries that are a sort of smaller and have less emphasis from their citizens on their rights. They sort of go along like sheep. And many, many Australians do that. New Zealanders do that. Canadians, to an extent, do that. Smaller countries, those that are sort of cut off, and whether it's the British thing that you do what you're told, but they the resistance is way less in those countries compared to the US. But when do you think, George, that we've passed the tipping point, if not already, on how the entire world, the way we live? Well, you wouldn't call it living anymore. All this stuff's going to change. We are going to be, I think, the point of no return has come and gone. But what about yourself? You've got a minute here. Give us your thoughts on when.
Next election in the U.S.
So 2 years.
The next election in the U.S. is going to determine what the fate and the future of the world will be.
But do you think
Keep in mind, they want to destroy everything that you know currently.
Do you think they'd wait that long? Because now is a good time. And within 2 years is when they should be striking. That's what I think anyway.
Well, they need the U.S. government. And the government is divided in Congress right now. And you have Donald Trump. And it'll take years for the U.S. to recover. But Donald Trump is still in a position to throw a stick into the works and stop it.
Because I've got to say, in this country, the resistance is pathetic. There's a lot more we could talk about. I think the world is in a precarious position. I think the tipping point has come and gone, but I'm always a bearer of good news, not. George Eliason, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time. Good luck with the electricity. Hopefully you can find some food and that sort of stuff. And we'll talk to you very shortly. George Eliason on TNT Radio.